Now, those of you who have been following the series on the seven assemblies in the book of Revelation, this is series number 13. So, I find it difficult to put too much or look at too many verses in the Revelation. It seems like each word has a special meaning and a deep meaning. This series, if this might be the first DVD that you're looking at, is it's on the seven assemblies in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and it's about getting a clearer picture of what Yahshua values in us, what he sees as our shortcomings, what he looks for in us to encourage us, what dangers he says lays ahead of us, what he prescribes for our reconciliation with our Heavenly Father, and finally, his assurance of his faithfulness in the form of promises leading to hope, so that we may have cause and a purpose to endure to the end. These are the messages that Yahshua is giving to us and to the seven assemblies of Asia Minor. In this part of the series, we're at the end of the section of Yahshua's criticisms. That is what he sees as our shortcomings. And if you would turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 3, beginning there, it says, "And to the angel of the assembly of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Now, it seems pretty literal. I mean, we can see that basically Yahshua wants to bless us, and he's kind of chastening us about how much we don't know. But let's look at these words and phrases in a little bit more introspectively. To the angel of the assembly of the Laodiceans. Interestingly, Laodicea is the last assembly on the road that connects all the seven assemblies. And I've got a little bit of a map here that kind of indicates that. You can see on this map that Ephesus is the first assembly being addressed, and then Smyrna and Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and then finally Laodicea. So Laodicea is the end of the trail if you start from Ephesus and go through all these seven assemblies. The verses of Revelation 3:14 through 19 are directed to the leader of the worshippers of Yahweh through his son Yahshua the Messiah, gathered in the city of Laodicea, pronounced Laodikeos, a name made up of two Greek words, Laos and Dike. Laos means people, as in the word, in English, word Nicolaitans. In Greek, it is Nikolaos, meaning the people or worshippers of the deity Nike. Nikolaos, people of Nike. And dikai means judgment, or justice, as in a principle of justice, or a just decision, or its execution of justice. So what does it say about the city of Laodicea? Literally, it means the people of the judgment. That's kind of ominous. Being the last of the seven assemblies Yahshua is addressing, we have a picture of Laodicea pointing to the time of judgment, when all peoples will be judged, the sheep from the goats. The righteous will be separated from the wicked, those who obey the law of Yahweh and those who disobey. But the people of the assembly of Laodicea are labeled by Yahshua as lukewarm. Now, when I think about that, I think of a judge who has someone standing in front of him who's been accused of some criminal action, not knowing whether this man is guilty or innocent. And this seems to be the people of Laodicea. It's just like kind of nondescript people. Who are they? Are they good? Are they bad? Picture, if you will, that courtroom scene where the accused has charges levied against him, and it's not clear whether he is innocent or guilty. It's a very common scene, if you can imagine. In fact, it's our system of justice to consider the accused innocent until proven guilty. Now, the accused either has a defense attorney, an advocate, or he does not. Okay? If not, then he is his own advocate. He stands alone in the court of law. What law? The law of Yahweh in the end times. And we're comparing the court system today to then. But then, if he doesn't have an advocate, he's standing alone in front of Yahweh and will be judged by the law of Yahweh. Now, you've heard the expression, a man who is his own attorney has a fool for his client. Okay. So if you're going to be your own attorney, then your client is a fool. So it is the same as when one stands before the great white throne without Yahshua, the advocate. Scripture clearly tells us that no one is righteous. No, not even one. In our verses that we read this morning, we saw that very clearly in what Paul had to say. Satan, the district attorney, will bring a string of witnesses against the accused. False witnesses? Not hardly. He will bring righteous witnesses. And what is Satan's district? The entire planet Earth. He is the prince of the air, the god of this world. And are we not witnesses to the world? Being a witness is a two-edged sword. We witness, we profess to others the good news. That's one side of the sword. And we witness those who reject the word of Yahweh, those who reject Yahshua. I don't particularly look forward to that task, and I join Yahshua in saying, I could wish you were cold or hot, but I wouldn't need witnesses. If you would turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 11 begins, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before Elohim, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, that is the grave, delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades, the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I've heard a lot of people speak of the lake of fire as only a few. You know, there's the false prophet, the beast, and all that. But here, it seems to me that just as Joshua talked about how the broad way, the way that most people follow, leads to destruction, and the narrow way leads to the kingdom, I don't think that it's just a few people. And that saddens me, that's terrible, that to think that people who are not believers and worshipers of Yahweh will be cast into the lake of fire. But there is still hope. Okay. If you turn to the book of John and chapter 7, John chapter 7 and verse 37. We'll begin there. John 7:37 begins, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Joshua stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Joshua was not yet glorified." Joshua here is issuing a plea to those who are seeking truth and to those who have been called out to worship Yahweh in the way demonstrated by his son, Joshua. Could he be pointing to the pouring out of the Spirit of Yahweh in the last days, as he pointed to the last assembly he addressed in Revelation 3:14, Laodicea? Turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah in chapter 44. Isaiah 44, beginning at verse 1. Isaiah 44, verse 1 begins, "Yet hear me now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun." That's a symbolic name for Israel, meaning straight, bright, pleasant, or prosperous, "whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your seed, and my blessings on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am Yahweh's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, Yahweh's, and name himself by the name of Israel." Now, taking that back to Revelation 3:14, we read, "These things says the Amen." Now, the Greek word Amen comes from the Hebrew word Amen, which means truth or assuredly. So when we hear Joshua saying, "Surely I tell you," or "Verily I tell you," it's like the word Amen. So who is truth? Who is truth? Who is the word of Yahweh? Joshua is the truth, and he is the word of Yahweh. Turn, if you would, to the book of John again. And chapter 14, John chapter 14, beginning at verse 5. Speaking of the issue of truth. John 14, verse 5 says, "Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Yahshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I hope you've been holding your finger in Revelation 3, because we keep going back to that. So if you would go back to Revelation 3, and again in verse 14. The faithful and true witness. These are titles that he's proclaiming about himself. Faithful comes from the Greek word peito, meaning to convince. Faithful means convince. It means to conciliate by fair means, or to assent to evidence or authority and to rely upon. Okay? Yahshua was given the power of healing through the Spirit of Yahweh to convince the world of his right to represent Yahweh here on earth. He was sent to reconcile the 12 tribes of Israel, including all who worship Yahweh, as we read in Isaiah 44. And he assented or acquiesced to the authority of Yahweh. That is, he only did what his father told him to do. He did nothing on his own volition. To put it in simple terms, Yahshua obeyed his father, the Almighty Yahweh, to the letter of the law. He is the Word. He is the truth. He is the way, because he obeyed the letter of the law. He did what the law said. And if we cannot rely on Yahshua to be who he says he is, the Son of Yahweh, then there is no point of continuing our effort to spread the good news of his salvation. And personally, I would rather sacrifice my will and miss out on all that this world has to offer than to risk losing the gift of life eternal. And what I've learned by living in this world is that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is as satisfying as the hope. The hope that I feel about living in the kingdom of Yahweh. I've learned that every benefit that one can hope for in this life has a price tag that far outweighs its possession. Consider credit cards, for example. Great invention, eh? How convenient they are. With one, I can have what I want without having earned the money I need to pay for it. In fact, I can have a bunch of things and not be able to pay for it. Business Week reports that U.S. households now owe almost $14 trillion. $14 trillion. The average household owes $175,000. It's like a figure that's almost unheard of. We're going, I mean, it seems ridiculous. Someone owes $175,000? Yeah. That's what happens when we focus on the world and not upon the kingdom of Yahweh. And I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, at least myself. This is not new. It's just true. We are still in the flesh and very capable of error. But let's examine ourselves instead and stay focused on the Word and make the changes that are necessary to stay in the way of Yahshua. Now, the last title that Yahshua gave of himself in Revelation 3:14 is the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. He spoke of himself as the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. As so aptly put in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1, you probably know by memory. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh. Now that word doesn't read Yahweh in most texts. But in the Greek, it is ton teon, the mighty one. And so I put the name Yahweh there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh. And the Word was Elohim. Now, it doesn't say that in most texts. But the Greek there is the Greek word teos. Not ton teon, it's teos, which simply means a mighty one, or a number of mighty ones. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with Yahweh. Yeah, the Greek there is ton teon, the mighty one. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's a picture of what we see today. The world we see is in darkness. It's without understanding, without knowledge, without wisdom of the reality of life, the reality of the afterlife. I want to read to you a proverb. It's proverb number 8, beginning in verse 4. If you want to go to Proverbs chapter 8, and I want you to this is one of my favorite proverbs, one of my favorite verses. Let me just read that, and we'll talk about it after we read it. Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 4. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. Now, prudence, that means either discretion or common sense. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So this is someone who is not speaking anything that is an abomination. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Okay? I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse, that means wicked or obstinate, mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Yahweh possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Yahweh possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from Yahweh. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Now, who is this describing? Literally, these verses use the literary tool of personification to create an individual named Wisdom, as described in the first verses of this chapter. Let me read those to you. Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Now, how is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge conveyed? Through words. Okay? Who is the Word? Yahshua the Messiah. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Yahshua with Yahweh. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, for me, I can see the word cold as referring to those who have no desire for the word of Yahweh. Correspondingly, hot might refer to those who have a passion for obedience to Yahweh. Lukewarm, however, is a picture of ambivalence. It's a picture of wishy-washiness. It's a picture of those who know the truth, but sin, then ask for forgiveness to clear the conscience, but then sin again and ask for forgiveness, never fully repenting of behavior that is contrary to the law of Yahweh. And again, I understand that we are all in the flesh and struggle every day with the law of flesh, as Paul said in Romans 7:21, which says, in Romans 7:21, I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Paul is saying, I want to do good, but there's this law inside of me that is evil. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of Yahweh according to the inward man. The inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who, he asks, will deliver me from this body of death? I thank Yahweh, Paul says, through Yahshua the Messiah, our master. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What a dilemma. We talk about peace being the absence of issues. Well, we're a walking issue out in the world. You know, we know the truth. We love Yahweh. We know the Word, and we seek to obey Him. then there's this other law that works in us as long as we are in the flesh. Joshua points out how we deceive ourselves in Revelation 3:17. It says, because you say, quote, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, unquote, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Now, I don't think he's talking about money here. And white garments. And I'm not sure he's talking about white garments. That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And I don't think he's talking about actual vision, although he performed miracles where he brought people from their blindness with eye salve. verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Wretched means subject to enduring trial. Boy, doesn't that describe this life? We are subject to enduring trial all through life. Yes, life seems this way sometimes, to be perpetual tribulation. We attempt to comfort ourselves with things like food, drugs, alcohol, sexual perversity, expensive cars, and so on, in an effort to avoid harsh realities. We are, after all, human, and we don't like pain. We have all eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We all participate in that fruit, good and evil. That's who we are. We can't get out of our flesh. But we can use wisdom to fight the flesh. And that's what we're all doing here today. This is where our treasure is, and this is where our hearts are. Obedience to Yahweh and love for one another. Miserable means in need of mercy. It just paints a picture for someone who just cannot, as Paul talks about, cannot get out of the flesh. Miserable, I need mercy. We are pitiable. The word poor in this verse means beggarly, without substance. if we don't have food, we don't have the energy to carry forth what we need to do in life. So people are begging for substance. That's what poor means here. Blind literally means opaque or smoky, not seeing clearly. It is also used to mean, blind also means high-minded or proud. I mean, it's hard to see if your nose is in the way, you know, you're looking down at people. Naked literally means nude, but figuratively conveys the idea of being stripped of a covering. Who is our covering? Yahshua the Messiah covers us with his blood, protecting us from the destroyer. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy, to redeem from me gold, which figuratively, it comes from a word that means substance of great utility. Gold is very useful. It doesn't tarnish. It doesn't rot. It's very malleable, but it can be strong, and it's very beautiful. Gold means, in this context, of great utility. Refined, which means ignited in fire. And the word fire actually comes from a Greek word that means lightning. That you may be rich. And that word rich there means filled. fulfilled or accomplished. And white garments, the word white there comes from luke, meaning light. So white actually means light garments. And garments there, the meaning of garments is something that you put on, over you. That you may be clothed. And the word clothed means vested. Now, next month I will be vested where I work, which means, I guess it means I can collect a retirement if I quit or whatever. I'm vested in something. Ever been vested in something happening? Well, that's what clothed means. That the shame, and that word really means disfigurement, of your nakedness may not be revealed. That how you are disfigured and your sinfulness won't be revealed. And anoint, and the word anoint means rub, your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And the word see there means take heed. It doesn't mean just see something visually through your eyes. It means take heed that you see, you understand. As many as I love, and that word love there is philo, which means to embrace. As many as I embrace, as many as I call out and hold close to me, I rebuke. And that means admonish. And chasten means educate. So I admonish, I correct, and I educate. Therefore be zealous. And the word zealous means have warm feelings. Therefore have warm feelings and repent. And that word repent there in the Greek means to think differently with remorse. And that's why he educates us, so we can think differently. Yahshua is speaking to the assembly at the end of the road, so to speak. He is speaking to us individually, just as he spoke to the actual assembly at Laodicea. He is speaking to all the assemblies from his time until now, and he is probably speaking to the assembly in the kingdom of Yahweh, when his law will be upheld with a rod of iron, the government of which will be upon the shoulders of Yahshua HaMashiach. So may we strive to obtain wisdom, redeeming it by walking the straight path until we squeeze through that narrow gate at the end of the pathway.